Chapter 4. The girl moves like silk and serpents, graceful and sure-footed, rippling over the landscape and cutting through hills and forests like an arrow flying true. "The path takes too long," Llewellyn says, trying to coax Vivienne into following her down a steep embankment. "I can see the camp from here." "My dear," Vivienne sighs, "I hope you realize it takes a very special type of person to convince me to gallivant around in the middle of nowhere."
"Tents, ma'am," Llewellyn deadpans. "Tents and warm food and blankets."
"My standards have dropped," Vivienne replies. "When I offered my services to the Inquisition, I did not expect myself to be trapezing around the woods fighting crocodiles and bears, my dear."
"When I went to the conclave, I didn't expect anything," Llewellyn replies, holding her hands out to steady her.
Vivienne takes Llewellyn's hand, smiling in thanks. "I was hoping you'd use my talents for more, shall we say, refined activities?"
"I already have Josephine for that," Llewellyn replies, tilting her head.
"Darling girl, next time, just give me warning when you want to bring me to a swamp."
"Dorian! I'm glad you're here. It's too quiet without you. You fill the empty space," Llewellyn says, sounding remarkably clear despite how drunk she is.
Dorian thinks they still have quite a way to go before he can safely let her loose among the taverns without supervision, though.
"You know, darling, this is probably the closest I will ever get to getting in bed with a gorgeous woman," Dorian says, sounding much more sloshed than she does. "Much to the disappointment, I'm sure, of many, many people. I'm not even going to count how many."
Llewellyn giggles, rolling over onto her side and curling up a little. "Most of the men who are missing out on your singular experience?"
"Exactly, my dear," he says, tapping her on the nose. Somehow he manages to do it without poking out her eye. "She could match the Cunari, then."
Dorian sighs, closing his eyes.
"You really need to make more use of these rooms of yours."
"Too big. Too much. This could fit half my clan, Dorian," Llewellyn mutters. "And it's too quiet, and there are no trees."
"I should hope not, dear girl. If there was a tree growing in the middle of your room, I think we would have problems. And a pest issue," Dorian laughs.
"It's quiet," Llewellyn repeats. "I can't hear anything at all. It's eerie."
"It's called privacy," Dorian snorts. "And it's something a great many people want in cramped quarters."
"I know, but this does seem excessive, doesn't it? I have 2 closets, Dorian. 2! I barely own 3 changes of clothes, and I'm wearing one of them right now. And I also have... I don't know what it's called."
She makes a vague gesture towards the ceiling.
"What is that? Why is that there? Why would I want to survey this room?"
Dorian imagines Llewellyn standing on that walkway, right underneath the Inquisition's banner, and bursts out laughing.
"Exactly!" Llewellyn exclaims. "No sense! And you, Shem, call us Dalish impractical!"
"The stone walls are somewhat logical against freezing wind in comparison to tents, you must admit," Dorian says. "But yes, I do suppose this is somewhat grandiose for a bedroom."
"So, what's the story behind your mark thingies?" Sarah asks. "How'd you earn them, or whatever it is you have to do to prove you're worthy to get someone to take a needle to your sensitive bits?" Llewellyn blinks. The Vaseline? Yeah, those things. Sarah gestures towards Lavellen's face, laughs when Lavellen jerks back and almost tips straight into Dorian, who steadies her with a gentle hand on the waist and a thoughtless, "Careful, dear, I'm not washing this swill out of these robes." "What do you do? First kill, perform a magic ceremony, wrestle a bear naked?"
"Sarah, no one gets their Vaseline for their first kill," Lavellen giggles. "If they did, then children would be walking around with little marked up faces, and it'd stretch and look terrible when they get older. I'd have gotten them when I was 10, and I probably would have cried my lungs out and shamed the entire clan."
"What the hell, girl? What in flames did you kill when you were 10? A rabbit?"
"A man," Lavellen says, tilting her head. Something sparks in her eyes, hardens, like watching those rift things fold and unfold, opening and sealing. Lavellen's voice drops, and Sarah finds herself leaning in to hear her. The noise of the tavern rises around them.
"The keeper, and all the Haren, the elders, they always said, don't let them take you alive. They always told us, die first, to fight, to never let our people, to never let ourselves be dishonored again. So I did. I fought. I don't know if that's different here for the Shems."
Lavellen waves a hand, and her face is sharp and wild and all the things Sarah remembers from seeing the new Dalish coming into the alienage in the city.
"Emma Shemnan tel Abalas," Lavellen says. "I regret nothing. We fled, but we fled with our honor intact. I was proud." Lavellen smiles. "So no, Sarah, it is not a first kill that denotes the time for the blood riding. That is not why I became ready."
"You miss them, the rest of your clan. The smell of packed earth and grass beneath your feet. Cooking on the open fire, the sound of logs cracking and spitting, the keeper's stories and the soft sounds of the Hala around you, your parents singing you to sleep and the feeling of your furs underneath your cheek and palms, mother sewing and father making new arrows," Cole says. "You feel lonely."
"Yes, I do," Lavellen replies. "But I have the rest of you, and I'd be lonely if you guys were gone, too."
Cole peers at her from underneath his bangs, tilting his head a little.
"Yes, that's right. You have everyone else. Warm, very happy, loud, pleasant loud, fills up your head and your chest and buzzes with warmth. Never alone, not for long."
"There's you too, Cole. You're part of that, everyone," Lavellen says.
Cole blinks.
"Me?"
"You make me happy, Cole. Just by being here," Lavellen says, reaching over and squeezing Cole's hand. "I'm happy you decided to stay with us."
Cole smiles. "Me too. I like being here. You're all very nice. You let me help people. I've helped so many people with you. You make me happy. You help me make people happy."
Lavellen hisses at a blister on her palm, then promptly smacks it into the ground, earning a horrified gasp from Dorian. "What are you doing?"
"Packing it with dirt so it heals," Lavellen says, glaring at her hand. "Remind me never to let the Chargers talk me into another attempt at getting into fighting shape. It hurts."
Dorian stares at her before grabbing her hand.
"That is not how you treat a wound."
"It's how I do it," Lavellen mutters, "and it works."
"I'm amazed you haven't died of infection yet."
"If a dragon can't kill me, this won't," Lavellen protests as Dorian attempts to clean dirt out of the raw skin, making soft noises of disgust.
"Not for lack of trying, dear," Dorian says, "and don't think I didn't notice you're missing about an inch of hair. Vivienne was very clever in making it work for you,
But really? Dragons? And you didn't even bring me along. No, instead you brought the Seeker.
She comes from a line of dragon slayers. I thought she'd have experience.
That Kunari spy.
He seemed very excited about it.
And a Solas.
We were gathering herbs. The rest of you make fun of me when I gather herbs.
That's because you stop in the middle of a trip to go frolicking in the middle of a field of grass for about an hour without warning. It's rather charming, in an odd way.
Besides, it was all very messy, and I needed a very, very long bath afterwards, Llewellyn says. And I mostly ran into it by accident. I didn't know it would be there. I just knew that there were reports of one being sighted in that area.
You will bring me along next time, Dorian presses. At the very least, I can attempt to save you from getting your pretty face destroyed by a blast of fire or acid or lightning or what have you. And you can make sure mine doesn't get damaged as well. That's what friendship is. Not letting a giant fire-breathing monstrosity melt someone's face off. Or at least, melting with them so you both look absolutely wretched.
Llewellyn wrinkles her nose. All right. But I don't think I'll be running into any more dragons anytime soon. Also, it wasn't very fun, because afterwards, Bull took me drinking, and I can't remember what happened for about 10 hours after that. Bull says that I didn't do anything, and that I was relatively safe, but I'm not sure.
That is also why you bring friends along. Friends don't let friends make terrible drunk decisions, Dorian says, pinching her cheek. And stop packing your blisters with dirt. If you got an infection and lost a limb, someone, possibly me, might have a fit.
I can't decide if Cassandra is your official protector or Bull and his chargers are, Sarah says, as they lazily lounge half out a window, eating shelled nuts, watching the people of Skyhold go about their business.
I don't have a protector. I can protect myself, Llewellyn says. I'm the first of my clan and everything.
I mean, Bull is your bodyguard, and the chargers work for you, not the Inquisition. And Miss Priss is either watching you like a hawk or bear or something.
I was originally a prisoner of sorts, so maybe she just wants to make sure I don't run.
Either way, I'm pretty sure they're both fighting over permanent custody. Or joint custody.
I don't know. Do you ever get whiplash? I mean, Bull's just arg, and yeah, and fuck. And Cassandra is all no, and hiss, and not on my watch.
That's not true. Cassandra lets me do things all the time.
While spying on you.
And Bull doesn't always encourage me to do everything.
Sure, he doesn't. Sarah rolls her eyes. Either way, you have not just one, but two mostly annoying and somewhat entertaining weirdos looking over your shoulder at every turn, and I'm not quite certain how you haven't gone insane.
Well, I have you to balance them out, Llewellyn points out.
You keep me rather sane, I should think. You're the only one around my age, after all.
Sarah and Llewellyn exchange high fives.
Best,
Sarah preens.
Damn straight.
Just don't tell Dorian, Llewellyn says. He'd be severely disappointed.
I won't tell him while you're around, but that's the best I can do for you, Sarah says.
And I could probably give you a head start or something like that.
Best, Llewellyn repeats.
Do you think the chargers are done with their hangover yet?
Nah, give them another hour, Sarah says.
Or, you know what? Don't give him the hour. Let's go. Cremo's me money.